What would you say if I suggested that one Christian cannot take another Christian to court? Well, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for following along with us as we go through book by book and chapter by chapter and verse by verse. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. We're going to be in the first 7 verses. If you haven't subscribed and you're watching here on YouTube, would you be sure and do so? If you're interested in the podcast, I'm going to put that in the description so that you might be able to follow us along if you'd prefer in podcasts. So thank you as we walk through this important question today. Can Christians take other Christians to court? And why is God's government important among us? Well, let's jump right in here, chapter 6, verse 1. Paul comes on pretty strong when he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints?" It's as if he's saying, how dare you? Any of you dare do this? You have a cause, a case, against another brother, against another, why would you take them before the unrighteous? Now, why does he use the term unrighteous? He's talking about what was acceptable in that day, public government courts, and it was often done in what was called the Bema court judgment, open place in the city, outside, almost as entertainment, that you could bring a case or court before the judges and everybody could watch in the city. And Paul is saying that is bringing such disgrace to the church because you have believers who are in covenant bringing each other to court before the unrighteous. And don't you know that you have the ability to judge? So let's look at verse 2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So he calls these cases that Christians would bring against each other, where one is being defrauded, the smallest of matters. He reminds us that here in this life, we reign with Christ, but out through all eternity, we will have and do have a place in God's authority. Not only is it true now, when Jesus talks about being in the midst of us, he says, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. When even the two of you shall gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. He's not talking about a come by y'all moment in Sunday school when attendance is low. Oh yes, just two or three of us together. Jesus is here in our midst. Well, that's true, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his government. Whatever you would decide would be bound on earth and bound in heaven is referring to when you bring a sin or a transgression to a brother and a brother hears you, then you've won your brother. And if he doesn't, you follow through on it according to Matthew 18. Well, he also tells us in the scripture that in the government of God, Christ is in his believers. We have to trust Christ in one another. That's why we can't know each other after the flesh. We can't know each other after what they've accomplished, but rather Christ in us. It's time, church, that we discern the church, discern the body of Christ. We ought to be crying out, Jesus, open my eyes so I really see you in my brothers and sisters. And that's what he's really dealing with here because they were not looking at these matters. He says in verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge angels? And how much more the things that pertain to this life? Then he says in verse 4, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Why do you go to the unrighteous people to judge? He says, verse 5, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against a brother, and that before unbelievers. He's wanting to rebuke them and is rebuking them very strongly. If you're going to judge angels, you're going to judge the world to come. Why then would you not be understanding that you can judge matters among you? Now, that means that we ought to have Christian arbitration among ourselves. Now, we've actually done this. This actually works. And the way you do it, you can't build up sides and you can't talk about it and then get people together. What has to happen? Let's say this brother is against this brother. Let's say that this brother is in business with this one, or they're involved with something and it doesn't work out and it becomes a legal case. Rather than taking another Christian to court, you can actually take it to other believers. Now, the way that would have to happen is that there would be one brother take it to the leaders of the local congregation, and those elders and pastors can help. But this brother could pick someone who hasn't heard the case, but he has the right to pick someone, kind of a peer. This other brother has to pick someone who hasn't heard the case. He can't have gossiped about it. And then the leaders could pick someone who hasn't heard the case, and they would be a neutral position. And literally, you could take these three people and make them a tribunal, make them the judges of it. And the first person would come in and share his case. He would share it openly, let them ask any questions, and he'd go outside the room. The next person would come in and share their case and share their situation and any questions would be asked, and then they would go out of the room. And then those three judges could call anyone back in and ask any question they wanted to, but they would make the final judgment. And whatever judgment that would be made, these two would have to abide by it. That would become a legal binding and they would carry it out. Now that would be Christians trusting other Christians. He says, you ought to have someone among you, even the least among you ought to have the wisdom to do that. He said, is there not a wise man among you? Is there not someone? So a brother does not go against another brother. Why would you do this? Why would you take who you are? You are holy people before an unrighteous judge. And so he rebukes them for this attitude of really dividing over things they should not divide over. So then he says in verse 7, now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated or defrauded? Now that is big. You know, he's saying there comes times in Christian experience that you have to trust others and submit yourself to them. And even if they misjudge and you get cheated and defrauded, go ahead and accept it, release it, forgive it, because ultimately God is the one that makes things right. That takes maturity. That also goes a long way in relationships. Maybe you have not been defrauded over business, but maybe you've been defrauded over relationships, meaning someone has said something, did something to hurt you, and you want them punished, and you might even be willing to take them to court. I don't mean literally because it's not a case, but in your heart, you'd want them punished. Can you release that and be willing to be defrauded and cheated and forgive and to let God take care of it? If you do, you allow Him to work. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. If you get involved, He doesn't. Stay out of the way. Let God deal with it. He will bless you, and you will be honored, and you'll grow in the Lord. And Paul is saying, come on, guys, look at this. Don't take your business before the world. Know that God's government is in your midst. Christ's character is among what you might even consider the least one among you. There's wisdom that's there. This is what Christianity looks like. This is what covenant looks like. This is what the body of Christ looks like. I love Paul is so practical in 1 Corinthians. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.